Welcome to the Future of Teamwork podcast, where we explore cutting-edge strategies to keep teams human-centered, drive innovation, and empower you with the tools and insights needed to help your team excel and thrive in today's rapidly changing world. Your host is Dane Gruneveld, a seasoned expert with over 20 years of experience enhancing team dynamics and innovation. Today, Dane is joined by Gina Catalano. As founder and president of Centro Forza Group and member of the Forbes Coaches Council, Gina brings over two decades of multi-industry expertise, including leadership roles across five Fortune 500 companies. With multiple certifications, such as an Energy Leadership Index Master Practitioner and Certified Professional Coach, Gina specializes in guiding individuals and teams to uncover their core values, confront challenges directly, and achieve transformative growth and lasting success. Dane and Gina explore how leaders set the tone for culture, not just through policies, but in everyday moments that shape a team's environment. From the signals we send through body language to how we communicate tough decisions, Gina shares practical insights on leading with clarity, consistency, and empathy. She also breaks down the power of emotional intelligence and how leaders can foster accountability without losing connection. If you're looking for ways to build a stronger, more engaged team, this episode is filled with actionable strategies. So, teamwork makes the dream work, and we're here to inspire your next collaborative breakthrough. Gather your team or put on your headphones, and let's dive in together.
Welcome to the Future of Teamwork podcast. My name is Dane Gruneveld, CEO of the Huddle 3 Group. And today I'm joined by Gina Catalano. Gina is the president and founder of Centro Forza Group. She's a Forbes Council member. She's led a number of teams through Fortune 500 companies and is now doing a lot of work in coaching and executive development. So it's going to be a fun conversation. Welcome, Gina.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
We've had a great start just pre-show, so we should have started recording 15 minutes ago.
Lots to talk about, for
Lots.
Sure.
So Gina, perhaps you could share, you know, for anyone listening in today, what's your story? How did you come to be doing this cool work?
So I have led teams over four Fortune 500 companies, sales teams, and traditionally was recruited from outside into different companies to help build, change, and update their culture, right? Mm. Coming in and taking over a team that wasn't getting the results, had not been motivated, not empowered, maybe toxic environments, et cetera. And so I've done that over four times and learned a lot through that whole process. And the last company I worked for was fantastic and a great, again, proving ground for just coaching and leadership, et cetera. But I felt that it was time. I kind of felt called to do that work and make an impact on a larger scale with individuals. So a lot of experience in coaching and leading teams and quite a few years in the healthcare space, you know, over two decades, and working with the C-suite, working with surgeon leaders and healthcare executives. And noticing that not only the sales team from one perspective comes with many challenges and opportunities, but also the other side. So I was really grateful that last year I founded the company, and it's been a great journey since.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's cool thinking that you've come out of leading sales teams, particularly in those environments, particularly healthcare, because we were talking pre-show about emotional intelligence and just how many leaders are being called upon to be building their emotional intelligence in the workplaces we've got. And in sales environments, you can get both ends of that sort of spectrum. You get very emotionally intelligent people and you get people that just barge through doors. So, you know, what were some of your early experiences that sort of gave you that skill set?
So I'll share a personal story of where I fell down with my own emotional intelligence. Just as a brand new leader at the time, I was working with a team. I led out of Boston, the whole Northeast. And I remember that my director at the time, I was on a sales call and they had me come in for management development. And she pulled me aside and said, you know, Gina, whether you know it or not, you are a leader in this organization, not just only with your own team, but people across the organization look to you, and you can't be rolling your eyes. You can't be crossing your arms if you don't agree with the compensation plan. You can't, when the leadership team is speaking, when the executive team is speaking, your body language makes a difference. People are looking to you. And I don't know that I recognize that I did all those things. You know, I came from a very large Italian family. And so we talk with our hands and we're passionate individuals. And I've always been very driven, but I didn't realize how much of an impact that my voice, my communication, my nonverbal cues all made a difference in terms of the respect that I got in the room and how it impacted other people.
Yeah.
So that's one of the early lessons that I learned about myself. And I had to really work on, you know, not really a poker face, but having the self-awareness of what internally I was feeling and then how I wanted to present myself in a very purposeful way.
Yes. I like that. Purposeful, intentional. I think one of my former coaches talked about, as a leader, when you walk into the room, the eyes are on you, and it is those nonverbals. It's what kind of spring in the step does this leader have today? Are they saying hello to people? Are they smiling? Because, you know, a lot of people rely on a leader's capability and the business's health for their livelihood and
absolutely
job satisfaction and everything else along the way.
The vision of the company, the energy around it, the positivity around it, executive presence is a thing. And it's not just the gravitas of, you know, how do you stand in the room and, you know, are you loud and boastful? And many times the individuals that are leading the team are quiet and they're listening and they're leaning in. But when they speak, people pause and they listen. And that's all part of leading. That's all part of creating a vision. That's part of building a culture. And I think it's anchored, that's executive presence, but I believe it's all anchored in emotional intelligence. And that can be taught, but it is a skill set.
Yeah.
You have to practice that.
Absolutely. It's cool. It actually reminds me of a boss. The way you said it's not a poker face, it reminds me of a boss I once worked for who had the ultimate poker face, but so much so it was unnerving. You know, nothing ever changed. There was never really happiness either. So
yes.
All you remember is just, the boss is here and, you know, he's observing all that we're doing and I'm getting zero feedback.
Yes. Yes. And that can create a culture of fear too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. It can, the pendulum can lean in the opposite direction and it can go down a road where people feel unsteady underneath their feet. Am I doing a good job? Am I not? Not only just being verbal, but, you know, the way in which someone responds to you with their face, with their tone, all of those things can make a team feel secure and safe.
Yes.
In showing up as themselves and really truly building a positive culture where people want to be.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm glad you touched on culture, because when you're explaining that you were bought in from other organizations, you said to build, change and update culture.
Yes.
That's pretty cool, because normally when you think of a sales leader coming in, it's like they're coming in to drive better process, drive more accountability, you know, engage with customers, but you were doing a lot more.
Yeah, I think that there are some leaders when they do come in from the outside where they come in, you know, with the hammer. This is what we're going to do and this is how we're going to do it.
Yeah.
And I think that is such a miss. It is absolutely such a miss. You have to, and I don't know if you'd call it a velvet hammer even at all. It's when I would come in from the outside, and whether it was a VP who brought me in or a director, whatever their title is, and I had a brand new team that I was coming in, I would specifically ask to not know every detail or what they thought about people or where they were ranked on the list or who did what. I wanted the opportunity to meet with everyone individually and face to face in person, fly to their territories, fly to where they were, to really get to connect with them, know what was important to them, what motivated them, and how I could best show up and support them.
Yes.
And I think if you don't do that and you don't connect with people and you are, they know when you are there for business purposes and you don't truly care about them.
Yeah.
And sometimes people get a bad name because so-and-so told so-and-so this, or I heard this about, maybe they just need someone to help coach them through sales plans, or maybe they need someone to demonstrate what good looks like. You don't know until you give someone that opportunity.
Yeah, I think that's brilliant. And that clarity of what an individual wants is going to be different from person to person to team, regardless of whether they have the same job title or they work in
completely.
The same market.
Not only what they want and what they're motivated by, but also the opposite. What are they maybe not motivated by? You know, yeah. Just a story that popped up in my head. There was a sales professional that worked for me. His name was Vincent. Mm-hmm. And at the end of a quarter, like all sales teams, you have a goal that you have to reach. And there was a lot of pressure coming from the top down for me to get numbers in and how close we were going to be or over, et cetera. And so I remember texting, give me the update on forecast. Where are we with this? Where are we with that? And everyone responded without a problem, except for Vincent, who really got upset. Didn't understand why I was sending text messages. He didn't feel good about it. And I had to have a conversation to find out, talk to me about that. Why? What is it about that? For him, it felt cold. It didn't feel connected. And he wanted to tell me the stories behind what he was closing, how he was closing it. And so I had to change my approach with him.
Yeah.
Instead of texting him, he wanted a phone call at the end of the quarter. Easy, right?
Yeah.
But if I didn't stop and pause and check in, I never would have known that. And I would have had a sales representative on my team who would have started probably demonstrating negative behaviors. Maybe there would have been, you know, talking to his partners and peers in a way that is just not positive and doesn't build a good culture.
Yeah.
So it can work both ways, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. It actually takes me back to some sales teams that I've run where I have seen dynamics. Like, you can never say this is the golden standard of selling here, because selling's such a personal thing. And I would have certain salespeople like Vincent that would want to talk about what they were doing. And if they were performing, that was okay. If they were not performing, it was a problem, because I would call it noise. You know, I don't want to hear about what deals may close. Like, I don't want that conversation right now. I want to know what is closing.
What is closing? That's right. That's
and then
right.
We'll talk about what stuck later. So when you've got one of those team members that, you know, wants a little bit more discussion, where you need to exercise a little bit more curiosity, and you're a busy leader, like, how do you go about just creating that space so that you don't bring your frustration to bear?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, because we all feel the stress and pressure, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter whether it's sales, whether it's operations or whatnot. There's going to be times that there are deadlines that have to be met. And I think that, I'm sure you've heard of like the 3-second pause before you do say anything.
Yeah.
And for me, I really truly would have to get quiet, and I would write in front of me bullets of what I needed. But I would lean in and say, look, I know you're a verbal processor.
Yeah.
I mean, many salespeople are, not all, but some. And I want to give you the space to share with me what and how. But I also want you to realize I've got 15 minutes before I've got to call so-and-so with these numbers. So
yes,
let's figure out a way so that we both are able to get to where we need to be with that. You know, I think at the end of the day, there's going to be an understanding if they know that you've got that, right? Because they understand the culture of the company. And at the same time, they need to be heard. They need to know that you're there with them,
yes,
supporting them.
Yeah. I like that. I particularly like the fact that you don't have to just accommodate the verbal processing, that you can say, we're going to do this and I need this now. That's a really good combo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very cool.
People. That's the best part about working with people, is that it's something different every day, and there's so much that you can learn from everyone. Truly.
And I love I love the fact that the learning ties to that emotional intelligence. You know, a lot of people think about intelligence quotients in general as, you know, hey, this is set, you're born with this, but you can absolutely learn it, and you can actually build the mechanics as a team, which I've been fascinated by. Like, where were some of your, or where have some of your experiences been in creating, you know, some rituals or rites of passages in teams to kind of elevate that leaning in of a manager?
You know, I think this is going to sound a little bit old school, but it's been a book that has been on the shelf forever, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Yeah.
Dale Carnegie.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that was published in the 1927 or 37. I mean, it's been around forever. But as people come up in any organization, what he teaches in that is about connection. What he teaches about that is a lot of the emotional intelligence pieces that are important for everyone to learn. Just so I would have the team. Everyone would read the book. Someone, you know, would be the first person to present on this chapter or that chapter. They'd go into the field and they would practice, and then they'd come back and share, like, download what worked, what didn't work.
Yeah.
And, you know, going to the Starbucks drive-through, one of the key points on that book is, you know, the sweetest word to anyone is their own name.
Yes. Yeah.
And what a difference it makes in connecting with someone when you say, Dane, it's so good to see you today. Thank you so much for my latte. Have a great day.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a life lesson. That's what I teach my children, is how do you recognize the person who's in front of you? So there are many kind of things that I would utilize to leverage as education, where they could try and practice, put it into practice in the field and in their lives.
That's very cool. And would that be sort of sporadic, you know, hey, we're going to do a book this quarter, or would you try and do something on a more periodic basis in that setting?
I think, you know, it was probably very organic, depending upon the company and depending upon the team, right? So what I felt was a great opportunity, especially for some folks that are within the organization, is to give them an opportunity to lead a book, talk about why this was important to them.
Yes.
Bring that to the rest of the team, right? So it's very much like you're the president. You want to bring people around you who are smart, if not smarter than you, and they bring in the resources and things that they know. And so it doesn't have to be consistently every single quarter. I think depending upon what the team needs and what people need, you can organically have that, you know, come about.
That's cool. And I like recruiting some of your other team leaders to to lead the charge in that setting too.
I think that's so much fun, right?
Yeah.
You know, being in the field or working with individuals and they ask you a question and you can absolutely provide your response to it.
Yeah.
But what a different take it is when you say, you know what, let's call so-and-so, put them on speaker from across the country. And now you've got this opportunity where they're learning from each other. You've now made a new connection with other individuals in the org.
Yep.
And you're able to hear what they say as well. And you can take that idea and pass it on down the line, right? I have an idea. You have an idea. We each have one. But if we share it, now we both got two.
Yeah, that's so super cool. It's a teamwork kind of fuel boost.
Yes. And, you know, certainly on the sales side, depending upon the company, most, it can feel lonesome. Mm. You're not necessarily in the field with a whole team by your side every single day. And certainly in the world that we're in now, where remote work or hybrid work is a thing, we have to find opportunities to connect with people and to build teams in that way, in a very different way than we used to.
Yes. Well, I've read often that, and I've had a number of friends go through it, that, you know, pharmaceutical, medical device salespeople, there's a lot of burnout in that market, probably because it's a big workload, it's very individualized, high pressure, lots of travel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So creating that time to just come together and share stories is it's kind of like the virtual campfire.
It's important. I think it's important for people to hear what's working so they can emulate that, and you can, you know, the whole wash, rinse, repeat, do it again and scale it. Yep. And then people need to hear when it doesn't work and why it doesn't work, and to be in a safe enough environment to feel that they can share that as well.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure you would agree, but most of the key learnings come from what you didn't do well.
Oh, 100%. That's where the bonding.
Right?
It's where you either form a strong bond or you break one apart.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. It's like, I've never do that again, you know?
On that topic, you touched on when you said you had that personal learning moment, getting some feedback around, you know, not being happy with a change in compensation plans. Now, that's a plight for a lot of salespeople that compensation plans change because, you know, unit economics and external market and internal business procedures, everything's always.
Expectation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when going through a change like that, where do you see emotional intelligence for a leader really come in to kind of set out good foundations and take people through that journey in what is probably one of their most, you know, sensitive topics?
Very sensitive topic, right? Because what I have always said is that compensation is emotional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Compensation is emotional.
Yeah.
People tie compensation to quality of life, to can I have another child? Can I, you know, put my child through college? Can I pay my mortgage? Can I mean, all of the things, compensation is emotional. So you have to know that first. And then I think the second thing is when you are a leader in the company, you're a steward of the organization.
Mm-hmm.
So what I've heard said before is, don't give away your leadership to someone else. So don't use the company as the, you know, the bad older brother. Well, you know, so-and-so is making me share this with you guys. It's not my decision. You know, they made a decision and we just have to stick to it. And therefore, this is what's going to happen. You lose your leadership when you give it away in that manner. And so I think the best way is to really come to terms with what that compensation plan is. We've all been there.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're thinking, how are we going to do this? Like, I don't know how we're going to get this done.
Yeah.
And, you know, you sit with people that you trust and you have to break it down into manageable ways for your team to see the vision, to know that they can do it.
Yep.
And then be a steward of it. This is how. Right. These are key examples of how we're going to be able to get there.
Yeah.
And how can I best support you during this time?
I like that. I like the how do I support you during this time? Because that's just very human.
Yeah.
It's like you're going to have a reaction to it. Let's let that emotion be.
Oh, my goodness. And I think there are leaders that make missteps because they forget that, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They forget that and they don't show up in that way and they don't lean in with empathy. They don't, you know, you lead by example and you can say one thing, but if you do something else, that takes away your leadership.
Yeah.
You know, I had a leader that I was very optimistic that she was going to pave the way for a great culture. And what I found was that she said one thing and then did another thing, which I think took away her leadership, right? So I'm here to build an inclusive culture and to support everyone from growth. But at the same time, you know, when there was a sales seat or a training opportunity and an individual couldn't make it because his wife was in the hospital, instead of the first response being, oh my gosh, is he okay? Is she okay?
Yes.
The response was, we just lost a seat to the education. What are we going to do now?
Mm-hmm.
And that feeling is a feeling where that leader doesn't command the respect and build the culture that they can and they should based on their actions.
Yeah.
So it's not just your words, right?
Yep.
It's what you do. it's what you do and how you do it. And being empathetic and leaning into your team is everything. People are the culture.
Yes.
In every organization.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that. I could sit here and ask you loads of questions, very sales specific all day, because it's been where I've spent a lot of my career and it's fascinating. But
yeah,
let's shift out of that sort of sales leader environment and start talking to, you know, since you've had a year of running the Centro Forza Group, you've been able to work with executives from a range of other industries. So,
yes.
You know, how do you find other operating environments, whether it's, you know, in a hospital environment, you mentioned cybersecurity, other forms of business, where are they seeing their biggest growth areas?
You know, I think, again, we touched a little bit on just teams in general with remote work, mm-hmm. with hybrid scenarios, and how do you build culture with individuals? It could be in cybersecurity. It could be the engineer team. It could be the operations team. It's still the same in that they're people.
Yeah.
And they need to feel supported and want to be able to provide feedback so that they have an opportunity to grow in the organization and know what their performance matrix are, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And the other piece still comes back to the emotional intelligence that we just spoke about. So working with COOs and CEOs of hospitals and healthcare executives, surgeon leaders are dealing with very high pressure environments and teams.
Yeah.
Conflict resolution, which is based in emotional intelligence, how you approach that. Leading teams, creating a vision, communication. That's where a lot of my business is coming from. And the clients are coming from that high pressured environment where they have to embrace change.
Mm-hmm.
They want great outcomes and they don't necessarily have the skill set yet.
Yeah. So you're helping go in there and explore what is the dynamic of the team that they've got, and then, you know, fill in some very practical skills that they can start deploying.
So working a lot, doing individual engagements with the leaders in those organizations mm-hmm. to coach them through challenges that they have and
yep.
create kind of a self-awareness that is around communication, emotional intelligence. You know, a lot of the credentialing I have is based in energy leadership. So that has to do with your perception of different scenarios and what and how you perceive that is also how you show up and how you respond.
Mm.
So that's individual coaching and then leadership consulting, talking about how as a team
yes.
can we best pull people in together and create an environment that's safe.
That's neat. I want to dive into energy leadership there, Gina. So that resonates with me. I've always been a big energy player, so I can always feel when I'm on that high, but I can also feel when I'm on the low too. So what about that body of work allows you to kind of go in and diagnose, hey, where should we be getting started here with this team?
So there is an assessment that I provide, which is called an energy leadership assessment.
Mm-hmm.
And it is grounded in, it's not a personality type. It's not, you know, strength finders. It is someone's perception of a scenario, right? Or an environment. Okay. And it is based in leadership. So there's level one and two, which is what we call catabolic energy. Level one is very much defeatist. I feel like there's nothing I can do and I'm stuck and the world is just coming down hard on me.
Yep.
Level two energy is more of you're just angry.
Uh-huh.
You feel like you're being cheated and this is not fair. And so that's level two. Level three to seven is anabolic energy. And what that is more positive energy. So it has to do with the way you view the world. So, you know, for example, I win, you lose, not positive energy.
Yes.
You win, I win. positive, right? Yep. There's always something to learn. We're all connected. That's also positive energy. So the assessment itself is something that individuals take, leaders take, and then I get a report based on how they answer that. And it gives us just a starting point as to how they view conflict. How do they manage things? Where do they go to first, right? Under high stress environments, do they feel defeated and there's nothing I can do? Or do they get angry? This is not fair. And therefore, they speak and act out with teams? Or is it, you know, your position really means something to me. Let me just pause for a second. Let's come together and figure out how we can meet in the middle.
Yeah.
It provides a snapshot of the current environment, and then we can do some coaching around that. Neat. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So it is very contextual. So it's the environment they're in right now, not how do they deal with a pay dispute or how do they deal with an angry customer, but it's right now.
It's their perception in the moment and currently, right? And so everything that comes at them in that moment, you know, if we could take a surgeon leader who is frustrated because their schedule just got completely changed. They didn't have enough staff for them to do their surgery schedule. If their first thought is, oh, they always do this to me. The hospital is out to get me. I'm never going to hit my numbers. I'm supposed to take care of my patients. What am I supposed to do next? Uh-huh. That's going into catabolic energy. If their response is, you know what? They're down a staff member. That's got to be tough. Let's come up with a solution. So that, does it mean I have to go into a different surgery room? Does it mean that we need to call someone from the other building to come over and support me?
Yeah.
It's the way in which that you operate in the world. Your thoughts become things, create the emotions, and then your actions follow.
Yeah. I love that. Thoughts become things. I've been doing a lot of work around that with my coach. You know, having originally thought about things like manifestation as a little bit woo-woo, and all of a sudden you see it really works, and it goes into the positive and the negative. Once you start getting down, you find more problems. Once you start getting up and thinking positively, you find more opportunities.
For sure. When what you say to yourself makes a big difference in what you then feel and then what actions you take.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you say the world's out to get me, the hospital doesn't care that I'm here, my patients are going to be upset, and we are now in this catabolic energy, your body is going to feel tight. You're going to be stressed out. You might lash out at someone in your words.
Yeah.
And your actions completely change.
Absolutely.
As opposed to pausing. And if your thought is that the world's not out to get you, but they're just as stressed as you are, we're down a person.
Yeah.
Okay, great. How can we work together to figure that out?
Totally.
Yeah. And it's easier said than done. We've all been in a situation where, you know, I've been standing in line at the grocery store and someone looks like they're brand new and they're learning how to use the checkout. And I'm thinking, gosh, I've got to get home. This is crazy. And I'm hungry and I'm this. And I have to course correct even myself in so many moments. It's normal and it's human. And one type of energy is not, I'm not an energy 7 person or an energy 3 person. We're all of those things.
Yes. That's what I like about this. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just in the moment, how best can you make decisions starting with your thoughts?
Yeah. I must admit, I had one of those moments this morning. My 7-year-old did not want to go to school. I wanted to get out the door and get some work done before we went out for another appointment mid-morning. And I started getting into a pretty negative mindset, and everything just kept getting worse until luckily my wife intervened and I was able to leave the room, reset, and come back in and be a little bit more gracious. And finally, I offered her a piggyback and I managed to get her to school. But
I
was going down a much darker path two or 3 minutes before that.
We've all had those days where, you know, you drop the coffee on the floor, you trip walking out the door, you forget your bag, your phone is at home. It seems to like beget other challenges.
Yeah.
And I just wonder, right? Is that all just still connected to the, you're in this negative space?
You're stuck.
Stuff is just happening. Yeah.
So you're, let's say you're hypothetical, you're working with me as an executive and I'm in one of those level one, two moments. Like, where do you start going to bring them towards the more positive energy? How do you take me out of that?
I would ask you in the moment, what is the thought that comes up for you right now?
Right now.
Yeah. What's the thought?
Of fear. I'm afraid I'm not going to get it all done by Monday.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when you feel that thought of fear and you've got that, what does that feel like? What are the emotions that are connected to that for you?
It feels like kind of a tightness in the top of my stomach, heaviness. Mm-hmm. I'm slow all of a sudden. It's just, yeah.
Yeah. And that makes sense that if you have that tightness, that you're going to start to feel all of the emotions around that. But when that happens, what actions do you take?
Well, it's a good question. Like, I would say in the current context, I've been trying to just calm myself down, not put too much of an expectation upon myself in the moment, get curious, give myself a bit of a break. In previous environments, I would have just said to my family, I'm not going to see you until Monday. I'm going to be in the office all weekend and I'm going to blow through this. So
I'm on
a journey.
That's right. Right. So your actions clearly are being determined by how you're feeling, right?
Yes.
So what I would say next then is, what is a new thought that you can have?
That's cool.
When that comes up for you again.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, that's a good one. Because having been in a few of these situations over the years, I think having a new thought, you know, let's say I'm excited, I get to go and spend time with my team in Houston on Monday, I can get really focused on that and it starts to pull me in a bit of a different direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so when you have the thought of, it's going to get done, I'm going to go see my new team in Houston, it's going to all work out.
Yes.
What are the emotions associated with that thought?
Definitely a bit of a lift, a bit of a relief, you know, shoulders drop.
Right.
Yeah.
And when your shoulders drop, what actions that do you then take to follow?
That's an interesting one. Probably more positive actions. You start putting time behind, you know, the work that you feel good about doing, what matters most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe you come up with what you just shared, which is a different way to approach it, which is a piggyback.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. So you can really just help work a leader through that moment.
Yeah, because so that
the
emotion, moments
they're not acting on the emotions then. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's super cool. Does that, in your experience, Gina, when you're working with a leader, when you're working with a team, if you want to identify that, hey, this leader over here, when their team's going through this moment, let's say it's a financial leader and it's month end process. Hey, this happens 12 times a year. And whenever it happens, we're going to get in a rough spot. Can you create some, again, rites of passage, rhythms, routines that help sort of pull the team through that, you know, prepare for it, stay positive in their thinking?
Yeah. So a great question. And what I would say is this, you, Dane, know yourself better than anyone in the world, right?
Yeah.
So I would coach you through figuring out what are the guardrails that are important to you. What are your processes?
Yes.
That will enable you to make that easier on yourself.
Yeah.
Very, very different than Gina and what I decide that I'm going to do. But you're the expert on you. And my goal as the executive coach is just to guide you in thinking through what does that look like so that your outcome becomes better for you.
Yep. That's very cool. And I guess a leader can take that into their team as well and start, you know, leaning into, well, what is my head of, you know, general accounting need, and what does my, you know, payroll leader need when we're going through all of this at the same time?
I think, have you seen Ted Lasso?
Oh, I love Ted Lasso. Yeah.
I'm obsessed with that show and I'm so glad that they are adding a new season. But I absolutely loved, and I've watched it so many times, the one section or the one event that they had, right, where he shared about being curious. Do you remember that?
Mm.
The dart?
Mm-hmm.
And if you were just curious, you would have figured out, Rupert, that I played every single Sunday with my dad since 10 years old. And I have a sticky on my computer in front of me that says, be curious, because as a coach,
yes,
you don't know that person better than they know themselves. And you have to ask questions to help them uncover where things are coming from and why things are. And if they're stuck on something, I had someone I was coaching last week. He shared with me, just after being curious and asking questions, you know, when was a previous time where you were successful in that moment? And he was able to think back and say, oh my gosh, when I was in fellowship, these are the things that I did and this is how I did it.
Yes.
And the question was, what was it about you that enabled that at that time?
That's really empowering.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you've done it before, you can do it again.
Totally. So,
you know, you've got it within you, right? It's the whole, you've got that stuff deep within you. And that's fun.
That's cool. And I think for anyone who's listening, that, you know, there's a lot of talk out there right now that we all need to build our coaching capacity in teams separate from getting a coach. Mm-hmm. I think getting a coach helps you build your coaching capacity. It's a good example to say, hey, don't get focused on the task, get focused on the person, their emotions, what's within them, yes, how they've had that experience before.
Yes.
That's
very
cool.
Be curious, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It reminds me actually of, I had a really interesting experience going through COVID, because COVID was tough. Like, it was a worldwide problem. I had family members and friends all over the world that I didn't know how they were doing and couldn't go and see. And, a lot of people, you know, had it even worse than I did. But and then business is going backwards and kids are out of school. Like, everything seemed chaotic. And yet I found that period of life and work was remarkably fulfilling, because every day it was like, turn up and what positive actions can I take? And that was the only question you'd ask every day.
That's right.
It was just very different compared to, you know, other times in a business where actually the rest of the world's going great and you've got a small problem. I don't know if there's something behind that or not.
What I hear for me in that is, I think the noise kind of went away.
Yes.
If that makes any sense, is that it really boiled down to core values and what mattered most, at least for me.
Yeah.
That's where I started to kind of hear that inner voice to say, you're meant to do more than this. Like, there's an additional impact. Like, there's more. More. That's where it started for me as well.
Very cool.
Yeah. Very much during COVID. And it was a stressful time. I had four boys at home, all on the internet at the same time, trying to log in to get to their classes. Plus, I was working.
Yes.
Insanity, right? Like, complete insanity. And that's a time I'll never forget, just like you shared.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully we never go through anything like that again. But there's many lessons that came out of that.
Absolutely. So maybe that's another one, is like manufacturing a scenario or hypothetical. If you're a leader out there and you want to bring your team through something, you know, if you behave like it's essential and you've got to pick these three or four things to go forward with to lift everyone through, it's probably going to create a better story, better narrative. You're probably going to be checking in with more of your team members because you're going through a meaningful shift. I think maybe, you know, the more I talk that out with you today, Gina, it suggests that as leaders, we can become a bit complacent.
Mm.
That, you know, the world's just fine and we're making incremental change, but people are always going through pretty big changes.
They really are.
Yeah.
Right? And many changes that absolutely people are not sharing, right?
You know,
you never know what's going on in someone's life behind closed doors and what challenges that they have. And that's why I think you have to be empathetic and you have to really focus on the whole person.
Yeah.
and show up to support them in the best way that you can.
No, I love that. And I really love this energy leadership assessment. I'm probably going to follow up with you and try and get a little bit more hands-on there.
Yeah.
It's been a wonderful conversation, Gina. I feel like we could do this all over again.
It's over?
Plenty more to talk about. Yeah, I know. We're right up on the hour. But it's been awesome. And, you know, for anyone of our listeners out there that wants to come and do some work with you around energy leadership, executive coaching, you know, how best do they find you?
So two ways. I would go to the company website, centroforzagroup.com.
Yep.
You can send a message directly there, or I'd find me on LinkedIn.
Yes.
So just look up Gina Catalano or Central Forza Group on LinkedIn, and you can send me a message there as well. And
cool.
I'm happy to support people through their transformation.
That's awesome. Well, Gina, thanks for your time today. We'll make sure we put all of that in the show notes, and I look forward to talking soon.
It was great to spend time with you. Thank you for
this. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Remember that by embracing vulnerability, trusting our intuition, and approaching challenges with compassion, we not only strengthen our teams, but also pave the way for a future where collaboration thrives. If you're hungry for more insights, strategies, and research on collaboration, head over to thefutureofteamwork.com. There, you can join our mailing list to stay updated with the latest episodes and get access to exclusive content tailored to make your team thrive. Together, we can build the future of teamwork. Until next time,